Church, we're reading this morning from Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 21. Would you stand with me in the honor of the reading of God's word? For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sakes. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy in the faith, so that your pride in Christ Jesus may be abundant because of me and by my coming to you again. And all of God's people said, you may be seated. Last week we studied all the way up to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. You recall that Paul is writing from prison. His circumstances certainly were not good. He's not certain if he's going to make it out. But he was rejoicing that in his difficult circumstances had led to the progress of the gospel. That is, many in the guard had heard the gospel and some had believed. Then it said that everyone else had heard about his imprisonment for the gospel as well. And so, not just that, though, many believers, instead of retreating in fear as their leader sits there languishing in prison, instead of that, some of them were courageous. They were taking courage and being bold and proclaiming Christ against those odds. And so now, or at the end, Paul said that he was confident that this would turn out for his deliverance. And I told you last week, and we talked again Wednesday, that word deliverance there is the same word we get for salvation, right? So we don't know. Is Paul saying, I'm definitely getting out of prison? Or is it, hey, at the end of the day, God has me. If I live, then that's going to be glory for God. If I die, it's okay. He's still got me. He's still going to rescue me. Salvation is secure. And so he knows it's going to work out for his deliverance. He's confident that God is going to be watching over him. The end of verse 20 says, well, I'm just going to read all of verse 20. It says, according to my eager expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. He's telling them very plainly, look, I'm here, I'm in prison, it's worked out for the progress of the gospel. You guys over there in Philippi, don't give up, right? God has this. This is all under his control. And so he knows, listen, whether I get out of here, my life is going to be good, right? It's going to mean fruitful labor. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But he ended it saying, by life or by death, Christ is going to be exalted in my body. I belong to him. He is the one that we're here to worship this morning. And so Paul is just recognizing that whether by life or by death, Christ is going to be exalted. In today's passage, we're going to unpack that a little bit. We want to walk through this a little bit more. So verse 21 is very well known. And you guys probably know this verse. You've probably studied it. You've looked at it. You see it on t-shirts. It's out there in the world. But it says in verse 21, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I want you just to stop for a minute and think about what that just said. I'm willing to sit here in awkward silence as you just kind of think about it. To live is Christ, to die is gain. To someone who does not know the Lord, that is absurd. That is ridiculous, isn't it? To say that life is about, to live is Christ, that life is about Christ, that it's about Jesus, that all my goals, everything in my life should be oriented around this person of, that you call Christ that died 2,000 years ago. Doesn't that sound kind of ridiculous to you? Maybe a little obsessive, or as David told me this morning, maybe like we drank the Kool-Aid. That something's wrong, right? You guys are some weird cult group down there. If you believe that to live is Christ and to die is gain, what do you mean that death is gain? Some kind of profit? I mean, how ridiculous can you get? Brethren, brothers and sisters, I want you to listen to it again. To live is Christ and to die is gain. A rich young ruler we read about in the confession time, he believed in his own righteousness. He thought, I've got this covered, right? I'm good. I'm a good person. And what did Jesus, or what was the result though? He went away sad because Jesus had told him to give all that he had to the poor, and he was rich in this world. Jim Elliot, a famous missionary who was killed trying to share the gospel with the tribal people, wrote this in his journal in 1949. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." You catch that? You are no fool to give up that which you can't keep anyway. How many of you get to keep your life? You get to keep the house that you work for and the 401k you put in there, assuming the stock market stays where it is? You don't get to take it with you. And so you're no fool to give up that which you cannot keep for that which you cannot lose. Or as Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 through 37, "For what does it benefit a person to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what could a person give in exchange for his soul? What good would it be to gain all things and yet lose your soul?" It'd be pointless, right? It'd be absurd. Hear it again. "For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain." So rather than some absurd saying and go, well, that's ridiculous, let that be our anthem, church. Let that be our battle cry. May this be deeply ingrained and part of our identity, that to say, hey, my life, it's Christ, right? All of my life is bound up in Him. All of the things that I do in this life, the way I make plans, the way that I set my goals and my priorities, all of that comes back to Christ. And if it doesn't, I've got questions. You know, when I was in high school, I played football. I played other sports and other things. And I had a t-shirt that said, "Football is life." You guys remember those shirts? They were popular. You go out to the baseball field, I still see shirts. "Baseball is life," right? That's ridiculous. But the world has no problem saying that shirt and go, "Oh, yeah, I get it. It means you're giving your time to that. I'm devoted to this." Well, guys, the scripture says to live is Christ. And I remember as a young believer, I had one of those football shirts, and I became a believer, and I remember looking at that shirt and going, "That's dumb. This is not my life. That doesn't make sense." Christ is our life. So let's dig into this passage. We're in Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to pick it up right there in verse 21 again. I want to dig in and go, well, what was he talking about when he said to live is Christ and to die is gain? I've got you thinking this morning, and so I want you to, let's dig into the text and see what Paul tells us here. And first, he explains what it means to live when he says to live is Christ. Look at verse 22. "But if I am to live on in the flesh," that means he's not going to die in prison, "this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose." Well, the first part of this is for him to live means he's going to live and continue doing the ministry that God has called him to do. He's going to live his life in such a way that he is bringing glory and honor to Jesus. He knows that the church in Philippi needs help, right? They need to be encouraged. And he's thinking, hey, this is going to be good for you. It's not just for his benefit. It's for the church there in Philippi. It's for other believers. And so he's going to continue to exalt Christ through his work for the kingdom. It will mean that others hear the gospel. The churches like the church in Philippi will continue to benefit from Paul's teaching. So to live is Christ means that this life that I live, I'm going to live for him, thinking of him, living for my purpose is for him. I want to give you another passage. Flip with me very quickly to Galatians chapter 2. We're still thinking about what does it mean when he says to live is Christ. While you're turning there, let me give you another illustration. Any of you guys ever heard of Vodi Bakum? I know when he was teaching on the same passage, he liked to say, well, let's fill in the blank here. To live is blank. Might be my retirement plan. Might be my spouse. Might be my children. Might be my grandchildren. For some of us, might be our great-grandchildren. Might be my car. To live is blank, right? What you put in that blank says a lot about what you treasure. It says a lot about what you care about and the way that you're planning your whole life. And if you're planning your life around those things, even if they're good things, you're missing something. Because it's supposed to be to live is Christ, right? So keep that in your head this morning. I want you to think about it. If you were just filling in the blank, to live is blank, what is it? It better not be football. Just going to go ahead and say that one. But it's something. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says, for through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. I want you to notice that he says he was crucified with Christ, right? That he was dead with Christ. As believers, our union with Christ, that mystical union that we have, means that we get the benefits of Christ's death on that cross. He died on the cross and we died with him. That's how it's accounted, right? That's how, as we go through the scripture, that we are counted as having died together with him. He died and so did our old nature, the old man. Now it is no longer we who lives, but he says, I died so that I might live for what? Or rather, for who? He says, I might live for God. So when Paul came and he believed in Christ and he called on Christ and the Holy Spirit came in and he was indwelt by the Spirit, he was regenerated, he was born again. His old man is dead. He is made new. And the life that he once lived, well, guys, he's been bought with a price. He is now raised to walk in newness of life. He is now called to live for Christ. And so all the old is gone. It has passed away. And isn't that the beautiful picture that we see in baptism? When someone goes under the water, that they are buried with him. Then they're raised up to walk in newness of life. They come up out of that water as a new creature. And we say the words, raised to walk in newness of life. Why? Because that is exactly the picture of what happened at salvation. You get the benefits of his death and the benefits of his resurrection. And so Paul has said, listen, I was crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I died so that I might live for God. How many of you have been born again? Right? You've made professions of faith. You can think back to your baptism, which the baptism didn't save you, but it is a picture of what took place spiritually, that the Spirit has come in and has made you new, that you are no longer the old person that you were, and that your purpose in life has shifted. To live is Christ. Whatever that blank was, You need to swap that out this morning. It needs to be changed. You need to reorientate your life around Jesus. That our life is about him. Our goals, our aims of life are oriented around living for, obeying, and exalting Christ. Or another word, way of saying it maybe, is knowing Christ and making him known. Now, that's all just to live for Christ, right? But he also says to die is gain. And I've got some questions about that this morning. You probably do too. Back in Philippians chapter 1, verse 22, Paul says that he is torn, right? He is pulled in both directions. The end of verse 22 says, I do not know which to choose, right? And then verse 23, but I'm hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is much better, yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sakes. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and your joy in the faith. Now, he says this. He desires to continue to serve Christ in this life, right? He wants to see Christ exalted. He wants to see the progress of the gospel. He knows it will bring joy and maturity to the Philippians. He knows that others are going to grow. It's going to be fruitful labor and ministry. On the other hand, he says he very much desires to be in the presence of Christ himself. Right now, guys, we see through a glass darkly. We see, but we only have glimpses of the true glory of our God. We see, we know who Jesus is. We have the Spirit. But guys, is there never a moment where you say, there's a day coming, I long for it to be in Christ's presence? Do you long for it? Because Paul says, I desire to be with the Lord. I want to see Jesus. I want to be where he is. And so that's the battle that he's wrestling with, right? He's not suicidal. He's not about to kill himself. But he's sitting there going, I'm here in this prison. I'm doing this work. I know the gospel's going forth. And I'm struggling because there are days where he says, I want to be with the Lord. It is better to be with God, to be with Christ in person, than it is to be here. But if I stay here, I'm going to exalt Christ with my body. I'm going to live for him, and it's going to be fruitful work for the kingdom. And so finally he says, convinced of this, I know I'm going to remain. I'm going to continue with you all for your progress and your joy in the faith. He says, I'm going to keep doing the work that I've been called to do. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. What does it really mean? Again, when we die, what happens? Just gets you thinking this morning. How can we say that to die is gain? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, go ahead and turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to pick it up in verse 6. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Hear what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 says, therefore, being always of good courage, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. But we are of good courage and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. All right, let's break that down for a second. Here's what he's saying. Hey, we are of good courage, right? We're not afraid right now. If we are in the body, if we are at home in the body, that means we are absent from the Lord, right? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. That means we have been saved by the Holy Spirit. But guys, we know that there's a resurrection to come. We know that if Christ does not come back in our lifetime, we will die a physical death. We know that we'll go on to be with the Lord. We know that there is a resurrection at the end, right? Where we will dwell with him, body and soul, forever and ever. We look forward to those things. But while we're in this body, there is a separation in some sense, right? There is that longing to say, I want to be in Christ's presence. But to be in the body is to be absent from the Lord, is to be away from him. But then to be absent from the body, that is a nice way of saying, if we die, guess what? We are at home with the Lord. And so he's pointing out to them, guys, this isn't a bad situation. As bad as it can seem on some days, he's pointing out a truth that he has wrestled with because he has gone through shipwrecks and beatings and starvation and despair and being bitten by snakes and other things where he thought he would die. He knows what it is to wrestle with his mortality. He says to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. And so he says, we are of good courage, and we actually prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. That it's better to live as Christ, to die is gain. Do you hear him come back to that? Do you see where he's coming to this? And some of you, you've wrestled with this, and you know it is true. Our young folks are probably going, what are you talking about? How can this be? Because young people think they're going to live forever. But as the years go by, you realize to be absent from the body, that's to be home with the Lord. And it's a universal truth for all people. It is appointed to man that we might die once and then to stand judgment. And so that passage just points out that death is gain because we'll finally actually be with Christ. And I hope we'll look forward to that day. Now Paul ends that passage with these words, "Therefore we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, that is, whether alive or dead, to be pleasing to Him." So in that 2 Corinthians passage there, he's really saying the same thing. To live is Christ. To die, it's profit. It's better. It's gain. In a sermon titled, "Heaven is a World of Love," Jonathan Edwards argued that the greatest joy of heaven is not freedom from suffering, it's not reunion with our loved ones, or even the beauty of heaven itself, but it is Christ Jesus Himself. To be in the presence of your Savior, to look Him in the face, to have Him wipe away every tear from your eyes, to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." To know that the God who made all things loved you and is with you and calls you brother. That's good news for us. Jonathan Edwards also wrote that our enjoyment of Him is our highest happiness. It is the only happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. That there is a happiness, a joy that we find in the person of Jesus Christ. If we're not satisfied in Him, if our highest goal is not to know Christ, guys, we will never be satisfied. We will never be happy. But like he said, our enjoyment of Him is our highest happiness and the only happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. To live is Christ. To live is to know Him and serve Him here. To die is to be in His presence, to be with our Savior. It is gain for us. In our life, our greatest joy and happiness comes from knowing and enjoying Christ. In eternity, we'll see Him face to face and our joy will be even greater. Many of you are probably familiar with John Piper. I thought about pulling some of his quotes on this morning too. I was all over the place on quotes this week because it's such a rich passage. Piper pulls a lot out of Jonathan Edwards. And so you begin to look and he says, God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in Him. When we realize that our life is about Jesus and that everything else pales in comparison, that my ambition and goal should be to know Christ, guess what? He is most glorified in me at that moment. But I'm also most happy in Him when I'm glorifying Him, when I'm serving and worshiping and loving my King. And so when those things happen, guys, it is beneficial for us and is glorifying to God that when we say to live is Christ and to die is gain, yes, it might mean you need to reorder some priorities in life, but I say that this morning because it is an anthem and banner of joy this morning and of thanksgiving and gratefulness that, God, look what You've done for me, that I belong to You, that I'm going to see You at the end of the day. At the end of my life, Lord, when I'm absent from this body, I will be home together with You. That's what life is really about. I want to go back to verse 26, Philippians chapter 1, verse 26. I want to finish the passage we read today. He's convinced that he's going to remain on in the flesh, that Paul's convinced he's going to live, he's going to work for Christ, and it's going to be for their progress and their joy in the faith, so that your pride, or that word pride there can be translated as boasting, so that your boasting in Christ Jesus may be abundant because of me and by my coming to you again. Guys, I told you, we started this series in Philippians. It is joy in every season. Now, Paul's finding joy in prison. He said, this is going to work even now. He says, this is going to work for your joy in the faith. But then he says, look at you have this pride, this boasting in Christ Jesus. Not boasting in Paul, but boasting in what Christ has done in delivering Paul from prison. Boasting that he is going to continue, Christ is going to continue to be exalted in Paul's body, whether by life or death. boasting in the fruitful labor and ministry that will be done, not in Paul's power, but in Christ. To Christ be the glory. And so they come back all after all of this, and he says, listen, I know I'm going to continue on. I'm going to continue to serve. Christ is going to be exalted in my body, whether in life or in death. So I do want you to stop again this morning and just go, God, what is my life about? What am I doing? What is my purpose? Why am I here? Every now and then, we just have to stop and think through this again. Why did God rescue me all those years ago? Why did he send somebody to share the gospel with me? And I just remember coming in, not growing up in church, and coming to the faith, and beginning to say, hey, I've got to change my goals, because every goal I had was about going to college so I could make a lot of money. And I had to stop and shift it. And people were like, why would you shift those goals? And there's days I question it. Don't we all? Being honest? But over and over, God keeps pulling you back and saying, hey, you're mine. I did this for you. And I come back and go, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I got to sit with Bob and Christina this week, and it was a blessing to hear his call to ministry and get to know them a little bit. And he was sharing a little bit of his testimony, and I was thinking of a verse from Jeremiah the whole time he was talking about it, and then he quoted it. And I was thinking it because when I was young and I was wrestling with what am I going to do with my life, I got to Jeremiah the prophet. And Jeremiah said, listen, I got this word shut up in my bones. And if I say I will speak no more in his name, I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. And I never got over the fact that Jeremiah said, listen, there's times where I don't want to deliver this message. But God said, you're going to deliver it. And there's times where, guys, that's not just for preachers. That God has done a great work in us. That we've been crucified together with Christ. Raised to walk in newness of life. Go outside and tell that to somebody. They're going to think you're some kind of zombie. But to live is Christ and to die is gain, that all that we do is oriented around him. And that is for our good and our joy. And so when you start making those goals and plans in life, what kind of job am I going to take? What kind of spouse am I going to marry? What am I going to do with my life? Am I going to have kids? All those are legitimate questions, right? Those are good goals, but they all fall under, hey, to live is Christ. I belong to him. And so this morning I ask as you go, be full of thanksgiving and joy at what he's done in you. And stop and say, Lord, this is my life. This is who I am. This is the gifts you've given me. What would you have me do in this life for your glory? How can we see Christ exalted in my life and in this church and in this neighborhood among the lost, those right here around this church that have never heard the gospel? How can we do it, Lord? To live is Christ. And some of you say, but if I give those things up, right? If I give up some of my goals, I'm going to miss out on pleasure. I'm going to miss out on some of the joy that I would have had from obtaining worldly things. And I'm going to remind you, that rich man walked away sad because he was rich in this world. I'm going to remind you that you can't take those things with you. And I'm going to remind you then that to die is gain. Give it all up. Be generous. Do the things that God has called you to do, because at the end of the day, you don't take any of it with you. Work hard. Do those things. Leave an inheritance for your children. The Bible commends that. But guys, we're not just out there hoarding our lives. We belong to him. And that's good news. That's not somber news. That's not, let's stop and be sad this morning. That is, guys, look what he has done for me. We're going to sing a song this morning. I want to read some lyrics to you. We're going to close with a hymn that some of you know, some of you may not. But I want you to just listen to these words real fast. I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy and life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. But as I ran my hellbound race, indifferent to the cost, you looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. And I beheld God's love displayed, you suffered in my place. You bore the wrath deserved for me, now all I know is grace. Listen to this one. Now, Lord, I would be yours alone and live so that all might see. The strength to follow your commands could never come from me. O Father, use my ransom life in any way you choose. O Father, use my ransom life in any way you choose. And let my song forever be, my only boast is in you. Hallelujah, all I have is Christ. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I thank you for these beautiful words of Scripture. That while they seem so foreign and alien to us, Lord, there are days, Lord, where the cares of this world and all of its joys pale in comparison to remembering what you've done for us, remembering the salvation that you've provided, remembering the glorious future that is to come as we are absent from the body and together with you for all eternity. Lord, may everybody here this morning be able to say that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Fill us with thanksgiving and joy as we praise and worship you to close the service today. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.